Blog Talk Radio.
What up, what up, what up? It's your boy Peter Pink. You're not live on Word on the Street on Sword Radio, man. It's about 11, it's 11 o'clock, right at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. It's a great day to be alive. It's a great day to be who you are. It's a great day to do whatever it is that you say that you would want to do. This Pete Richardson, the owner and sole creator, saving athletes respectfully. No matter what you've done and what you've been through, life's about making your dreams come true. Don't let nobody tell you what you can't do. Don't let nobody tell you what you should do. Don't let anybody tell you how to do something. Just go ahead and simply just be like, yo, throw that attitude away. Yeah, throw that attitude away. I'm going to go ahead and do me. Just ain't me. I'm PDP. I'm coming through. I'm about to do it. Nah, man, I'm just messing with you. Freestyle almost came out. You know, I'm really liking that beat like that. But this is the Word on the Street. Feel free to call me at 877-921-1656. That is 877-921-1656. And if you tuned into the show yesterday, I had inspiring gospel artist Richard Jones, former Texas Tech Red Raider, on the show talking about how he grew up and talking about his ideas and his perceptions and everything that's going on in Baltimore. If you guys don't know what's really going on, Baltimore really is happening right now. But we're gonna get into it and what to expect today on Word on the Street with PVP. Stephen Avia, obviously, he calls in every day. He's going to call and give in his 2 cents. And it's Wednesday. So I'm also with Chris King today from KFFL out here in Lubbock, Texas. I'm on the country station. He's going to call in. Also, I got Gary Dale who's going to call in. I got a surprise from actually Gary Dale. If you guys listened to the show last week, Gary Dale, Chris met Gary Dale whenever they worked together. And this meat packaging company, and he said Gary Dale is somebody he thought that he should get to know. Don't judge the book by its cover. But anyways, Gary Dale is a really funny dude, so I have a surprise from him. And he called in. I don't know if Chris knows he's going to call in or not because he didn't tell Chris that he's going to call in last week. But we're going to see. And back to the riders and everything. Back to everything that's going on down there in Baltimore. And the word on the street is, I bring you something that's off the street that I feel like that can affect the world positively, or if it's something that, you know, everyone is talking about. Of course, I have to talk about it. I don't have to talk about it, but I feel like I have to give my 2 cents on it. And always gives. I believe every situation has something positive, even if you go to jail for life. I feel like, because you never know what God's plan is. He works in mysterious ways, and sometimes. And sometimes we go through things and we might think that it's wrong, but we might have an attitude that we might think something is right. And at the end of the day, it might be wrong. You know what I'm saying? So we have to pay our consequences. Or we might be falsely accused. You hear it all the time, especially more times than now, you hear about these men being falsely accused of rape or killing somebody from back in the day. But now the facts have came out. And they're able to prove their innocence, man. Like, you guys should get on Netflix and watch, like, Death Row. There's something called Death Row. Man, some of those guys are innocent, and it takes them, it's not for, like, 20 to 25 years to where these guys are proven innocent. But what about the time in between those 20 to 25 years that you're going to have to adapt to a new certain way of lifestyle? And you are incarcerated, you know what I'm saying? So that's what I feel like. Every situation, there's always positive in every kind of situation. I know that's really easy to say, but very hard to do. They say that if something is perfect, that means that's just how imperfect it is. If it's something's perfect, it's not really. I heard something today, something like something is perfect, it's not. You shouldn't really run towards it, because if it's too good to be true, it actually really is. And like I said on my show yesterday as well, We came to the topic of discipline and everything, and like there's a video that went viral of this lady who I'm going to read her article here from news1.com here in a second, but let me give you a little background. The media was recording, and she came up and snatched her son up and I guess smacked him around a few times and took him home. And everybody is just like, that's what we need. That's what we need. Yeah, man, she's a real woman. She's a real mama. She spanked the kid right there on national TV. And he ain't got no business doing out there. These rioters, these looters, whoopty whoop. Man, she's such a good inspiration. More parents, man, all their parents need to be out there doing that. But let's rewind. What happened at the beginning of the year when a millionaire running back got kicked out of the NFL just for disciplining his kids? Well, how come he wasn't praised for disciplining his kids? Because, I mean, I don't know. You know, I don't know what the contraceptives and all this stuff is. You know what I mean? I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure. You know, like why are we contradicting? It's like it brings the question: is it because he's a millionaire, young black man, just now reached 30 years old, being a positive person in his community? He disciplined his kids. He goes to jail. Now he has a record, and he got kicked out of the NFL. And he just recently got reinstated. So you take that situation, but then you take this situation of this young woman, black woman, beating her kid on national TV, and she's now on, CNN and stuff. You know what I'm saying? Hey, her video that went viral, now she's everywhere on the TV in a positive light. You see what I'm saying? And just so she made a quote, but let me read this, and I'm going to pray to Agent Peterson in here. In quote from News1.com, and she goes, "I'm no tolerant mother. Everybody who knows me knows I don't play," Graham told the network. He knew he was in trouble. And then she also told CBS this, that's my only son, and at the end of the day, I don't want him to be a Freddie Gray, she told CBS. I was angry. I was shocked, because you never want to see your child out there doing that. That's at News1.com. Go check it out. But she said the main thing is she don't want her kid to be another Freddie Gray, which that makes a valid point. You know, she don't want to be another Freddie Gray. She don't want her son to be another Freddie Gray, which means is she don't want her kid law enforcement. You know what I'm saying? Because he get in trouble with law enforcement, it's the same reason why we were talking about yesterday too. As soon as the police come around, we turning down our radio, and that's because that's a fear that we have. That's a fear that we have of the police because we know the consequences. And that's the same thing. That's why we discipline our kids to this day. It's because we don't want our kids to be another Freddie Gray, a Trayvon Martin, Emmett. Well, you can't even say Emmett Till. A lot of people don't understand. Most people nowadays probably don't even know who Emmett Till is. Emmett Till is a little kid who got lynched by grown white men, because he supposedly made a sound or winked at a white woman, and that ended up losing his life. You see what I'm saying? And that's why in the book of the Bible, it says in there, you know, discipline your kids. It won't kill them. You know, eventually it's going to save them at the end of the day, especially when they get into circumstances when they have to answer to authority. It teaches them a little bit of respect. It's like, hey, tighten up, listen up. Let me calm down. But sometimes I have to calm myself down because my passion and stuff kind of just speaks to me. You know, that's why I pray. I'm just like, Lord, just talk, just give me the words to say. Just let me be the messenger, and I say what you need me to say. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to say is, and I'm trying not to get too worked up, just like how I did yesterday, and it just. But I know it's going to end up coming out. I'm not going to be able to hold myself once I get going. But I'm really going to try. So you guys, bear with me. If you're just not tuning in, this is Word on the Street with your boy, PD Pete. Hit me up, 877-921-1656. That's 877-921-1656. And I just think I think it's just crazy. I think as people, we are divided amongst each other. I think as black people, we are divided amongst each other. And I think that's the sad part, because all these people, it's coming out. Well, let me put it to you like this. Where are all our supposed to be leaders at? Like, all these people preach truth. Deion Sanders talk about truth. Truth this, truth that. Well, where's the Kanye West, the Jay-Z? Where's all the people who have the power to do something? And I'm gonna tell you something. I'm listening to Jamie Foxx talk the other day, and I love Jamie Foxx. Jamie Foxx Living Color, Jimmy Foxx Show, Infatuation, the music, and everything. So I'm listening to, he's on the Ricky Smiley Show, and he goes, and they ask him the question, how does he feel about, you know, the pretty great situations and stuff? And he said, let me tell you a story. There was a little white kid who walked into a theater in Colorado. He walked into a theater in Colorado, stands in front of the theater, and shoots the whole theater up. Shoots the whole theater. At the end of that night, at the end of that event, the police apprehended him and took him to jail. He was able to go to court. He pled insanity and all this, right? So Trayvon Martin, no gun. Man, well, I'm not even gonna say this. I'm not even gonna go there. But then he said, "Let me tell you another story. Two black kids walk into a store in a small town called Ferguson. Walks in there, steals some Swisher sweets. Has a conversation with the store clerk. No one really knows what it was. So walking home, and then upon walking home, gets approached by the police. Talks noise to the cop, and then upon talking noise, they get into an altercation, and then he's shot in the back. Did you see what I'm saying? But the thing is, Jimmy Foxx's point was, see, he's not asking the cops to let us free. He's just simply asking, put the cuffs on us, take us to jail, book us, and because we still, at the end of the day, we still are blessed with the gift of life that the Lord has gave us, and that's why it's called the present. You know what I'm saying? But just like Jimmy Foxx, I feel Jimmy Foxx. He goes, then he went along to saying people are expecting celebrities to say something. He's like, the reason why I'm saying something right now is because I'm finally in a state to say something like that. You see what I'm saying? I'm finally in a state to say something because at the end of the day, you do have a family to feed. You do have to take care of your own household, and you can't really take on issues that might end up taking away your money. You know what I'm saying? So Jimmy Foxx was just like, you know what, man? So that's why some of the celebrities are not speaking out. You know what I'm saying? Because most of them are scared. And one person I really look up to death is Tupac. Tupac died at what, 25? And lived a crazy lifestyle. A lot of people, the media portrayed Tupac to be just thug and like just thug life and stuff, which he didn't have tatted on him. And I feel like, just like Tupac would say, he feel like the media is what made him like that and really portrayed him like that. But if you really got to know Tupac, he was raised living with some white people right before he got famous. And living with some white people. And he read a lot of books. Like one of them, the second was Machiavelli. You know what I'm saying? And it's because like they kind of had the same thing. And it's crazy because they know what they say, if it's rigged, it shall be done. And Machiavelli was somebody who kind of faked his own death and stuff like that. And that's what the rumors was with Tupac. But the point I'm trying to say is, at the end of the day, I think it was his. Some people might get mad when I say this. I think it was the ignorance of his youth because he was so young and he was so knowledgeable. He wanted to share his knowledge with the people. And you know how we are when we first learn something. We want to tell everybody how to do something, because just think about when you're in elementary school, you always want to raise your hand if you know the answer. And same thing when you start to learn stuff in the real world. You know, you start to understand really how people are, you know, and you start to get knowledgeable, and you start to get, it's just like going to church, you get hungry, you know what I'm saying, and you get hungry, and you go, and you get that word, and it lifts you up, and it feeds you, you know, that's how I feel like Tupac was, and if you speak too much about the right things, and not really care about the consequences of talking positive, and leading people in a way that might take away the little ground from these major corporations, they might find a way to kill. You know, they sacrifice Biggie Smalls and Tupac. We really don't know the fully truth. But I can tell you, just like this stuff that's going down in Baltimore, just like Reverend Stephen Ivey said yesterday, don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. Don't believe the hype. Because the media can take a picture of someone doing something good, or we're just happen to catch somebody looking crazy, but somebody could just fart it. And they're like, ooh, what does that smell? You know what I'm saying? But if the media can take a pic and put a caption on it, and it's like, ooh, like he's looking at the looters like that. You see what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, these are people's lives. These are people's lives that are being played with. And nowadays we're so free on these social media with Twitter, Facebook, half the stuff, people don't even know what's going on. But they will right there just see, read one little caption, and then they will post something. And then once they post something, it's out there for the whole world to see. So if you're just not getting off work, and then you see some nonsense posted, now you're just like, what's going on here? You know what I'm saying? And then that makes you want to tune into it. But my point is people having this free conversation, which is the First Amendment, the freedom of speech, which is all great. I love it. But sometimes people aren't ignorant. You know what I'm saying? And that's where the lives that we're looking at on TV, not only our entertainment, but also the people that we see on Facebook, are entertainment too. How many times have you guys who are married, who don't have girlfriends, or just chilling with your homeboys, you check your Facebook, And it's right there. You know what I'm saying? It's right there. He's like, look at this dude. Man, why he always posting this? Or why he always doing this? Or are they crazy? You know what I'm saying? Oh, he's precious. Or dang, she got another baby. Oh, man, I didn't know he was doing that. That's what's up. You know, our everyday lives become other people's entertainment. You see what I'm saying? That's especially if you're constantly putting stuff on Facebook, your life is becoming other people's entertainment. They might not like or comment nothing that you say or what you put, but they're going to, in their head, they're going to laugh. Or what? Put LOL, LBAO. I don't know. Laughing my butt off. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? But in the midst of all this, what if you got 1 to 2,000 friends, or maybe just a couple hundred friends on Facebook, or got a few hundred followers on Twitter or something like that, you fall into this little other world. It's like that social media is like, it's like a whole other world, man. And it's the media, I feel like is separating us at normal everyday people. And nowadays, because I remember back in the day, not everybody had a Facebook. You had to be in college to be on Facebook. Even prior to that, it wasn't so much gadgets around. Everybody didn't know everything that's going around in the world. So you didn't really have so much negativity. And I think it's the media's job to bring hits, to bring clicks to their site, to their sites and stuff. But it's us everyday people who's fighting amongst ourselves. I remember being at work one time when the purpose and stuff was going on, and this white lady just me and her just chopping it up. She's laughing. That's what I do. I make people laugh. I make people feel better about themselves. I don't even know how I do it. I just do it. That's just me. But the TV was loud. It was on CNN always. And they start talking about white officer kills black teen, an all-black teen. And I'm a black man. She was a white woman. She was laughing with me. Everything was cool. But once she heard that on the TV, she just looked at me, and she basically was just like, well, go ahead and finish your job, and so I'm going on my way. You know, and I felt that vibe, and I went ahead and finished my job. And after that, I went to go change the TV. But I knew if I was changing the TV, I probably would get in trouble. But at that time, I was like, man, I don't care. You know what I'm saying? I don't care. It's because I'm working my way through radio to be my own boss, but I'm working that job just to feed my family. But I knew what I had was storing stuff. That's why I was just like, you know what, man? I'm gonna go ahead and turn this TV off. I get in trouble, so be it. Because my boss ain't the one having to deal with this stuff. You know what I mean? So I'm just like, man, let me change it because I'm a happy person. I love to make other people happy, like I just stated. But that's this negativity, and it's bringing negativity to us everyday citizens. And just like Barack Obama just had an interview today with Steve Harvey, I believe, talking about we need to start locally. That's how, if we want to make a change, we need to start locally. But let me tell you something, I'm living in West Texas. Man, it's hard. it's hard. Like when majority of people here are Republicans. Not to say, well, if I'm Republican or Democrat, I'm not going to state that. But if you follow me, I'm pretty sure you can understand what I am and understand my views. You know, but I can feel like it's hard. It's hard to get into something and try to change something, especially straight off top, off GP. You know what I'm saying? Like, my friend, I'm helping you see Joe Gutierrez, who used to be a Democrat down here, and he's a Republican. You know what I'm saying? So I'm helping him with the Republican race. And the reason why I started helping him is because he said, you know what, if you want to change something, sometimes you got to start on the inside. And I was like, I was like, that makes a lot of sense. I rocks with you on that. Just because everybody's views are different. You know what I'm saying? But just because somebody's views are different, because a lot of people don't know, back in the day, Abraham Lincoln was a Republican who freed the slaves. You know what I'm saying? Most African Americans were conservative and stuff, but we could never, every time we went to go take a test to even vote, and then once the people got past that, because there used to be black politicians, there used to be black people like in power, with some power, but they knew what they was doing to get us up out of power. And just like what I was saying yesterday, man, like, how could some people keep their cool? Keep their cool when they know that they doing wrong? It's different between being patient and just being flat out stupid and waiting on something. Like, I was thinking about this. What's the stereotype for most black men growing up? We ain't got no daddy. That's the most stereotypical thing somebody can say about a black man is that we ain't got no daddy. You know what I'm saying? Which, you know, that's true to some stereotypes. Man, my dad ended up taking care of me later in the later age, but prior to that, I remember sitting at home like, man, when is my daddy going to come get me? It's Monday. When is my daddy going to come get me? That's the second Monday of the month. When is my daddy going to come get me? It's the third week of that month. When is my daddy going to get me? Next thing I know, it's next month, but I'm still trying to be positive. When is my daddy going to get me? When is my daddy going to get me? When is my daddy going to get me? All of a sudden, you find yourself at the couch, and now you're just like, man, forget my daddy. He ain't never coming. So what you going to do? Sometimes little kids act out in school because they don't know. They don't know what to do because now they gave up on them pops. So now that's when they do find themselves rebellious in elementary school and middle school, smoking weed and doing all that. You know what I'm saying? That's when they do find themselves rebellious. And the next thing you know, your mama finally calls your daddy, like, you need to come get your son. Like, he acting out. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes it takes us to act out of our character, you know, in order for us to get what we want. But sometimes we do it subconsciously because when you're a 17-year-old kid and up under, you really don't really get to understand. You think you're grown to 18. And that's why your parents laugh at you so much because you think you've grown to 18. You think you can go out there and be a man. But honestly, you don't know what. You don't really know exactly what it takes to be a man or a woman. Like I said, it takes a man to teach a man. You know what I'm saying? It takes a man to teach a man. That's what I'm saying. And, like, with all this stuff rioting right now, all this stuff looting and stuff that happened in Ferguson, and Ferguson really didn't get them nowhere because they still blackballing Mike Brown's mom. But now you got somebody apprehended in police custody with a broken back and then ends up dead. Now the people are rioting. Yeah, but let me tell you this. Just like I gave the example of a little kid and his dad, understand that his daddy is never going to come. You can look at it in a professional job way, and you can put that on just about anything. If we're at work in sports or what? You know what I'm saying? You're getting disrespected by your coach. I'm not saying you're going to hit your coach, but you're going to finally start saying, no, coach, no. You're you're playing with me. Most people are playing. Well, some people, they play or they don't know how to be a man and just tell somebody, no, we don't want you here for this position. Look somewhere else. You see what I'm saying? And just when it comes to this stuff with protesting and this guy ends up dead, and now people saying this police brutality has to stop. And people talk about how Dr. Martin Luther King was here. That this stuff wouldn't be happening. Most people don't even know their research. Most people don't even know who Black Panthers is. Most people don't even know who NAACP. Most people don't even know who Gandhi is, who Martin Luther King learned from. This is a new generation. Now people in my generation are getting what? About to turn 30. Most people just not getting their job, so they don't even want to say nothing. They don't even want to get into it. You see what I'm saying? Like, Our youth are our future. And my whole point of me saying is everybody's talking about the riots and stuff. No, I'm not. I don't condone violence. I don't promote violence. I'm not even violent myself. But sometimes you have to let people, when you really want something, you have to let people know how bad you want it. You know what I'm saying? Like, they can go on there, oh, yes, we want some peace, we want some peace, we want some peace. Yeah, they'd be like, oh, you know, if you keep calling, I'm here to call so-and-so so I can stop this police brutality. Click. Oh, I'm here to call so-and-so. Click. Oh, I'm here to call so-and-so. Click. Next thing you know, you come up to the office. You knock on the door. Boom, 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 boom. I'm here to talk to so-and-so. Boom, 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 boom. I'm here to talk to so-and-so. He's out on lunch. Boom, boom, boom. I'm here to talk to so-and-so. Oh, he just left. Boom, 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 boom. I'm here to talk to so-and-so. Oh, he's in the meeting. What you going to do if he keep getting frustrated, keep getting told no? What? Give up? Give in? I'm telling you, if Harry Sutton would have gave up back then, we wouldn't be here today. Martin Luther King wouldn't even have had no opportunity. If Harry Sutton would have gave up. If the soldiers back in the day of how we got our Star Spangled Banner, if they would have gave up, we would not be here. It's not about white and black. Get it out your head. But I'm just telling you, as black people, if you do your research on our ancestors, then you see how we are such passionate and why we care for so much. You know what I'm saying? And talking about these rioters, and so most people just want to be heard. That's why they dance and stuff like that. But most people are more violent than them people out there. And some people say, oh, they ain't educated. So you mean to tell me everybody that some you to tell me the attorney general of the army is not educated? Come on, what do religions do when they went? Come on, man. You got war. Our country is all about war. Religions are, read the Bible. Read it for yourself. Most people don't. Most people just read a scripture when they pass it to them to read it. Don't even read prior or before. You know what I'm saying? There's some people trying to kill people with scriptures. Man, it's all about healing. It's all about love. You know what I'm saying? So, like, and I'm gonna change the topic. I'm gonna change the topic after this. I just wish that, like, man, yes, they're out there. Okay, the rioting needs to stop. We got their attention. Now it's time for the real leaders to go out there and preach this nonviolence and really preach the word. And let's get to the senators. Let's get to Obama. Let's get to him in a peaceful way. Now the world is looking. But you know what? Once that happens, now, we ain't going to see no more cameras. You know what I'm saying? We ain't going to see no more cameras. No one's going to care. Just like I say, black-on-black violence. Yes, people talking about, why y'all mad because these kids are killing, police is killing y'all when y'all killing yourselves. Man, because no one cares. Black-on-black violence has decreased over the years. It has, but no one cares for the kids in Chicago. That's why you don't see it on the news locally. One of your homeboys can get shot today. You won't ever read about it in the paper. Maybe you'll see his obituary, but you won't see nothing else. You won't. So man, I'm telling you. Man, I'm telling you, it's just mind-blowing. It's boggling. And it's just crazy, man. I pray for love. I pray for peace. I hope nobody's going to come kill me now. You know what I'm saying? Because I pray for love and I pray for peace. Well, let me come shoot you. You'll be all the joyful and peaceful all you want. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying all that. Don't take it to that extreme. But, man, that's what I want, man. And the reason why I talk about this stuff, too, is because, man, I'm passionate about all people, not just black people, not just white people, not just anybody. Because, man, just like I said before, man, my sisters and brothers are white. My stepmom, everybody on my dad's side of the family is almost white. So, it's like I get both perspectives, but it's like my genes, I'm fully black. My genes in me and my ancestry in me I can't be quiet because there's too many people out here. If Jesus was quiet, man, if Jesus was quiet, come on, we wouldn't be here. Like, come on, if all the strong people before us was quiet, then we would not be here. But nowadays, the people who I looked up to back in Muskogee, Oklahoma, supposed to be my cousins, man, I no longer look up to them no more. I don't, because when issues, when real issues come about, people want to be quiet. You know what I'm saying? Pick a side. You might lose some of your following. So what? So what? It's not about that. It's about being real and authentic. Don't support the phonies. Support the real. Man, I got cousins that's police. I got cousins that have been nominated for Grammys. I got cousins that's in jail. I got cousins on the firefighter crew. My dad is a lieutenant. Man, I got cousins everywhere, you know, that can help. And I do got some people helping. You know what I'm saying? But some people trying to play both sides of the fence. You can't play both sides of the fence. Like I said, man, I'm about to go to police academy next month. The reason why I'm going to the police academy, that was my major in college. I watch crime shows all the time. That's in me. That's embedded in me. You know what I'm saying? But I understand, but I'm not joining the force just so I can kill white people. No, I'm joining the force because I want to be the change that I want to see. Yes, I got beat up by a black cop. I have to say black cop, because if I just say a cop, it's so bad, people going to think I mean a white cop. But no, I got beat up by a black cop, you know, which made me really resent cops, hate cops. And hate is a strong word. It really did. You know? And man, I'm just going to stop it right there. It's just because, man, the reason why I said that is because, man, I believe police brutality needs to stop. It needs to stop. It's not about white and black. It's just, it's not about that at all. You know what I'm saying? Stephen Ivey is calling me. I think he might. So I guess Stephen Ivey is not going to be able to call me today. He's actually called me on my cell phone. So I have to talk to him here in a little bit. But I believe I got Mr. Chris King in the house. Oh, let me see. Mr. King, what's up?
I wish you would Wednesday. I wish you would. I wish you would. Anybody.
I know, right? I wish you would tell me I can't be successful. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
What's up, man?
How you doing? Yeah, brother, I'm doing well. I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm great. Just give me 1 second. I got Mr. Stephen Ivey just called in for me. Let's see, right? See, what's up, Mr. Ivey? You good?
Hey, I'm good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. I see you just called me on the phone. Did you mean to call the studio?
Studio.
Oh, yeah, I just said it. I was just like, Stephen Ivey's calling me. I guess he's not going to be able to call in. So, but now that you're in, man, I'm going to go ahead and give you the flow. Oh, excuse me. I'm going to go ahead and give you the flow so you can G.O.
All right. Well, lessons from FedEx. This lesson comes from something that I just saw today. And it's really simple, guys. It's go with the flow. Go with the flow. I constantly, again, when we're talking about FedEx and what I do, you know that on average every day I'm getting a bunch of packages every day, and sometimes it can be overwhelming. Well, today we know that normally Wednesdays are a light day, a very light day for us, and today was just super easy. And I kept up with the flow of things. I didn't take the breaks that I could have took, but I just went with the flow. And before I knew it, things were flowing so well that my supervisor ends up taking a guy away from the wall that of trucks that I load, and where I normally load my main truck and help out on one. By the end of the day, for the last 45 minutes to an hour, I was loading three different trucks. But it's just about going with the flow. And I'm saying with that is that some days it's going to be good. Some days it's going to be bad. But whatever day it is, go with the flow. We can't control things that happen in our lives, good or bad, positive or negative. But we just got to keep up with the flow of things and not allow ourselves to get overwhelmed or not take a break because things seem easy. So you might be in school and things are super easy, or you're it's some people about to graduate and you just have a test, one final that you got to take, or two finals, or whatever the case may be, and you've done good in the class all up until now. Don't slack up, just stay on top of it and do what you're supposed to do and finish out strong. So that's my word for you today. Go with the flow.
That's what's up. That's what's up, Reverend Ivy. You say just go with the flow. Some days might be easy. Some days might be a little hard. Even though it might get a little easy, that don't mean you should let up. Just keep pressing on and do what you do. Well, all right, Mr. Ivy, it's really been my pleasure. I'll talk to you next week, different week, same sort of time, my brother.
Yes, sir.
All right, appreciate it. All right, that's me on the line. I still got Mr. King. And before you called in, Chris King. I don't know if you know, because Gary Dale told me not to tell you. He said, so I was a man of my word. I don't know if he said something to you while you was at work or what, but he goes, PDP, I'm going to call in next Wednesday, but I got a surprise that I want to give you and your audience. And I said, what is it, Gary Dale? I said, what is it, man? So I don't know, did he tell you he was going to be calling in, that he gave me a surprise?
No, he didn't tell me anything, bro.
Oh, man. See, he gave it to me. He told me not to listen to it. But just play it on your show. I said, now, Gary Dale. Like, I was like, we faith-based, and, I was like, I do have some kids, so I have to keep it clean. He was like, pick the word about it, just play it now. So I was like, okay. All right, so here we go. This is a surprise. We got a surprise from Gary Dale. He's going to be calling in. It's about 40 minutes after the hour, so I'm going to play this before he gets on the phone, because I don't know how he's going to be once he hears his surprise up on the radio. So just give me 1 second. This is Gary Dale out of the Meat Factory.
I'm Gary Dale. That's right, ladies. I said Gary Dale. Bodine, Wayne, Cleveland, Houston. Need a hand. I was shopping at the local T-Bow just the other day. This old gal was chopping out a bit, man. She just had to say. Hey, man, ain't you that one fella on the radio? Say, today, right? I'm Gary Dale. I like doing things like feeding my hog. Hanging out with my bird dog, Carl, too.
Carl.
I like giving ladies gifts like pickles. I'm Gary Dale. I got a pretty nice collection of Rough Proper Western shirts.
Yes, he does, yes.
Whole collection of NASCAR hats, too. When I'm feeling skippy, I put on my stonewashed jeans and my shoes with the Velcro straps on. Not very nice. Got a duck bin that looks better like me.
I'm Gary Dale. I'm so glad I waited to listen to that. He even talked about his dog, Carl. I thought he was playing. He's talking about his dog. But he put it in the song.
Wow. Wow, dude. All right. Well, I think you just lost some listeners, bro.
I think he did. Oh, man, that's actually pretty cool. I got to give a shout-out to Mr. Gary Dale. He's going to be calling in about a minute. So as soon as he calls in, I'll let you guys know. But Mr. King, well, there it is. Have you ever heard that song before?
I, you know what? I have heard that song. previous, you know, before I heard it just now, but let me tell you, it didn't sound quite like that. But yeah, I have heard a rough draft of it before. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I do have to must admit, I'm gonna have to let him know he is talented on that guitar. I need to see if he can see if he can teach himself. Oh, there he is. Hold on, let me unmute his mic. Mr. Gary Dale, what's up, man? You good?
Hello. Hey, what'd you think about that song there, man?
Oh man, I think you did it, man. Was that a freestyle or did you write it?
Oh, well, you know, sometimes I just sit down and I just go with the flow, man. I'm kind of like Lil Wayne sometimes. I just say it and it comes out of me like nothing.
You say it and it sounds good, huh?
Yeah, you know, sometimes I got my influences like Snoop Doggy Dogg and Lil Wayne and all them fellas. And, you know, we sit down and we just come up with music. And, Chris was sitting there listening to me when I was doing it one time. And he didn't like it too much, but he's kind of giving me a hard time about it.
Well, Gary Dale, it really wasn't that good, to be honest with you, so.
Hey, Chris, stop hating. Gary Dale.
Don't listen to him. Nobody needs to listen to him. He's stupid. He don't know nothing about nothing.
I know plenty about everything. Shut up.
Hold on. Gary Dale, okay. Gary Dale. Let me tell you my vision of you singing that. Song. I just imagine being out at the lake, sitting around a bonfire. Everybody just chilling. Probably may pop open a cold one. Maybe, you know, when people just enjoying a good time. You know, and then you whip out your guitar and go, I'm Gary Dale.
Yeah, that's what it is. Well, man, that's what it's about, having a good time. That's what it's all about, just having a good time. And, well, you know, really what I was doing is I was sitting on tailgating in my pickup truck, and I was sitting there in my, because I got some Jabots. I don't know if you know what Jabots are, but I got some Jabots. I was wearing my Jabot pants and my Velcro sneakers, and, you know, I was just sitting there with Carl, and I said, hey, Carl, let's write a song. He said, all right, let's do it. So we wrote a song, and I played it for Chris. He was cracking on me, and, you know, anyway, it didn't matter.
So Carl is your dog, right?
Yeah, Carl's my dog. He's my hunting dog.
Does he speak English? Or you just know what he means when he barks?
Yeah, well, you know, we just like to sit there and have a good time. That's all we do, drink Milwaukee Best, and we just try to sit by him.
Just stick to your own business. I'm feeling that. I don't know about you, Chris, but I'm feeling that style right there.
I don't drink the Milwaukee. I don't drink the Beast. I do not drink the Beast, but I am always down to chill with Gary Dale because him and I give each other a hard time, but we are really good friends. And, you know, I enjoy spending time with him, even though he's kind of a moron.
Hey, man, you don't call me a moron.
Hey, you heard that? Oh, man, that's cool. So Chris. Let me ask you something, man. Now we talked about the homeless people the time before. Like you be having some crazy stuff. So this goes for you too, Mr. Gary Dale. Just this past week, man, has anything funny been happened to you, or that you feel like it's funny, or was it just being kind of lame?
What'd you say? Are you talking to me or Gary Dale?
Oh, for both of you guys. I was just trying to see if you guys came up. Seems I know Gary Dale probably has. Well, I was just talking about you.
Okay, what was the question again? I'm sorry, bro. I couldn't hear you.
What's been happening with you this week? Because, you know, the first week it was you were talking about the care kits for homeless people. You just felt like, man, how is their signs just so short? So I was just wondering, going into this week right here, man, has anything funny happened? Or everything's been
kind of
lame.
Okay, gotcha. Observational humor. Well, No, man. I really haven't. You know, one thing I did notice not too long ago, I'll just go back to the homeless people thing, that, it doesn't matter what time of year it is. I always see homeless people in big, huge, bulky coats, like big old jackets. Have you noticed that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I noticed that the other day, man. It was like 80 degrees outside, and there was a guy walking in a giant, bulky coat, looked like he'd been rolling around in the dirt for a day or two. And, you know, I love everybody. I love people. I'm definitely not talking bad about people that are less fortunate than I am. So please don't get me wrong. But it's just odd to me that they will wear those coats, like, year-round.
Think about this. Because that's probably they sheet, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, they blanket.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
So you got to be, you got to get something thick. But at the same time, when you get up and move, it's like you're a mobile home. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So when you get up and go to the store or go to work and stand on the corner, you know, you got to take your stuff with you. So that's probably why you see them walking around in some big coats. Because think about this. If they try to hold they spot with a coat, what you going to do if you walk up on a coat and you homeless? And they're like, I know they ain't trying to hold their spot. I'm gonna take the coat
in
the spot.
Have you seen Tent City?
You know what? Off of 19th and University. Is that where it
no,
is?
Man. No. It's over on Avenue A, between 34th and Avenue A, somewhere over there. And dude, these aren't just tents, man. These are like these have frames, and they're like military style tents with solar panels on them. And I mean, they got electricity.
What?
They've got everything, dude. I'm thinking about just moving out there, bro.
Wow, I didn't know that. You know, they
yeah,
got
you
electricity.
Need to, you need to check
I,
it out.
I bring me a little heater. No, I mean,
yeah, go drive
to
by there.
Shoot,
yeah.
I can't drive by. Cause somebody,
yeah,
somebody
look at it.
Me, they'll probably get me for all my change. Exactly.
No,
because
no.
I did. Yeah. I don't even have $5, but I'll probably get them three of it. I can't get no cash to go home.
It's all fenced in. It's all fenced in, and it has the fences have like the slits in them to where you can't really see in or see out. But there's a little opening that you can kind of look in there, and you can see the tents from the road. And dude, they're really nice, man. These homeless people have it made, bro. I'm telling you, they have got it made.
Oh, that's what's up. Man, I wonder who organized that. Because whoever organized that probably had a vision. You know what I'm saying? Think about how many lives that they're helping. Because it sounds like to me, because just like I said before, man, the average citizen in the community is only two paychecks away from being homeless. So, man, shoot. Hey, something happened to me, you might see PDP air live from Tent City. But you know what I'm saying? You never know. Talk about I'm falling in my dream.
Hey, man, I'm just wondering if y'all are going to talk to me again. I figured you're going to talk to me or if you're going to leave me out.
That's what I was like. Me and Gary Dale probably be up there chilling, drinking some Milwaukee beer.
Am I just a bologna sandwich around here?
The bologna. Oh, there my. Hey, but I actually had some pastrami the other day. Yeah, I stepped my game up, Gary Dale. You ever had pastrami?
Yeah, that pastrami's pretty darn good. Put some peppercorn in there. And have you ever had liver cheese?
Mm-hmm. No, I can't never say I've ever had no liver cheese. Tell me about
Boy,
it.
Boy, you need to try that. You need to try that stuff. That's good stuff right there. Potted meat, liver cheese, all that good stuff, boy.
Oh, okay. See, I'm lactose. You know, most of us black kids, we can't have too many dairy products. So if I have too many dairy products, I'll probably do a number two, probably the biggest my arm. You know, it'll probably take me 2 hours just to get it out. So I can't really eat dairy products like that, Gary Dale. You know?
That ain't no dairy product, man. That ain't no dairy. That's meat.
Oh, I thought you said cheese.
I did say cheese, but it ain't real cheese. It's just, it's liver. I don't know why they call it liver cheese, to be honest with you. I never figured that out. I don't think anybody ever figured that out. But it's called liver cheese, and what it is, it's like liver, chopped up liver with a bunch of other stuff mixed in it, and it's got a ring of fat around it. It's just chunk of meat you put on a sandwich.
Oh, sandwich. I like it.
Dude, hey, man. Hey, what's what? I'm going to change the subject real quick. What's up with all the riots, man?
With all the who?
The riots. The riot in Baltimore. That big, huge riot that happened.
Yeah, man. I don't know. Like, I was talking about it on my show before you and Gary Dale called in, Man, well, what happened was a dude named Freddie Gray. He's a 25-year-old man, but in the media they're expressing it that he's a black man. But I'm just saying that he's a man, 25 years old. He had got behind on his child support, and it's just like one of us walking around, and he had a sling blade on him. So it's just like one of us walking around with a pocket knife here in West Texas. You know, most of us have pocket knives, right? So he had a sling blade, and I'm telling you that he was behind on his child support because that was the reason why they said that he was fleeing, you know, that he was running away from him. And they ended up catching him, and while he was in police custody, his bond, like, got broken, like, in several different places, and then he ended up dying. And while he was in police custody, so it's not like that he was fighting the cops and stuff like that, but they tried to say, well, he had a sling blade and they feared for their life. But it's just like a sling blade against four or five cops, and he's already in police custody. Something's not making sense. So, and they just had his funeral yesterday or the day before, I believe. They just had Freddie Gray's funeral, and then everybody was peaceful. Like, they was protesting. They were protesting after the funeral, but it wasn't going to be like a riot and stuff like that. So it wasn't until everybody started calling the N-words and throwing stuff at them, and then I guess these little young kids, 16 to 17, just started all the rioting and stuff, and then everybody got behind it. But here's the thing is, because sadly to say, they're not talking about why they are rioting. They're just saying that they are rioting, but they're not saying why. And then also, if you study, like, Freddie Gray, the guy who died, he's an ex-military guy who was getting caught up on his child support and stuff, but he just hasn't officially got caught up yet. You see what I'm saying? So it's like he's a dude who fought for our country and stuff like that, and he was only 25 years old, and which was crazy, and which brings me to another point like this, because it was a video that went viral of this woman spanking her kid on national TV, but she did. You saw that? Yeah, and she didn't know that that was happening. And so they interviewed her on CBS this morning, in which the video went viral and stuff, and she goes, she don't want her son to be another Freddie Gray, and that's why she went out there and thanked him. But a lot of people, I don't think, really get why she's saying that. It's just because she don't want her son to be out there and get killed by the police. You see what I'm saying? So let me ask you a question. Like, you're a Caucasian male doing the right thing. And I asked my listeners, Stephen Ivey and Richard Jones, who I had on my show yesterday, I asked them, do y'all still turn down y'all radio when the police pull up beside you or behind you? You know, so just let me ask you that question. Do you turn down your radio when the police pull up beside you or behind you, or do you just keep it right there and just don't even worry about it?
Well, first of all, let me explain that I'm on probation, and I get nervous when a cop gets behind me, period. But, yes, I do turn my radio way down when a cop pulls me over. I don't like it when a cop is just driving behind me. That I get nervous. I'm looking at all my mirrors. I'm on cruise control at 25, you know. So, yeah, my radio goes off if I get pulled over. My windows are down. My insurance and my license is already out. My seatbelt is on, and it's buckled in tight. But you know, honestly, man, all these riots, I mean, it's wild. It's crazy, man. And white people, you know, in the past have had plenty of riots as well, you know, for stupid reasons. And, you know,
I wonder, you know, let's say for instance, Miracle Whip, the mayonnaise, the company goes out of business. I'll bet you white people will riot like a crazy. Like, I mean, I'm telling you, mayonnaise goes out of business, white people are going to go nuts, dude.
Hey, I'm right there, too. I got to have it on my sandwich. Oh, man. But I feel you, though. But, yeah, but, like really, that's my point, is because, I mean, I don't think it's not a white and black thing. I feel like the media, is like, they're just doing their job, and they just want to bring attention to their sites and to their TV shows and stuff, and they're going to continue to talk about it. And I think it's forming a civil war between us as people. And because, man, you see, I say civil, because it's between us everyday people. Like, when the Ferguson stuff happened, I'm working at Super 8 checking this lady in, and she's a white lady, and I'm just sitting there, if you guys don't know, I'm a black man. I'm sitting there talking to her. I'm checking her into a hotel room. She having a big smile on her face, and then on CNN it goes, an unarmed black teen was shot by a white police officer. All of a sudden, she looked at the TV, straightened up, smile disappeared, and was just like, give me my keys and let me go about my business. So after that, I felt that vibe. After that, I went and changed the channel. It was like, man, it's like they created this madness because you got the freedom of speech, Facebook. You got people putting on this ignorant stuff out there. You know, oh, they ain't educated. They ain't this, and this ain't the way to go. Dr. King was here. Well, yeah, that's cool. Who's to say if you're wrong or you're right? But it's getting so much attention, and now it's no longer positive no more. It's becoming negative, and it's making people angry, and it's turning people, like let's say, for instance, man, I got a white homeboy that we used to kick it with, but ever since the stuff that's been going on in the media between white and black, I ain't kicked it with him, and I be hitting him up, but he don't even hit me back. And I be like, dang, like, I hope this because what's going on is, you know, is not, don't have nothing to do with what's going on in the national world don't interfere with me in my everyday world. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So to me, like, as a black man, I'm just like, man, what's the real reason why, like, we ain't hanging out, man? I hope it ain't just because all this stupid stuff in the media. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just like when Barack Obama became president. Barack Obama, I had to walk out of class. I was in English class at Texas Tech, man. And then I just hear all this hatred stuff. You see what I'm saying? But I was just like, man, I don't have no time for this. I'm going to leave. You know what I'm saying? So I just told my teacher, all this stuff's going on. They can keep talking all you want. I'll just get some notes from somebody else, but I'm leaving. You see what I'm saying? Like, I had, like, at that time, my girlfriend was white. You know what I'm saying? We had been together for, like, 6 years. Her dad is, like, my dad. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, and I've been around their whole family. And then my brothers and sisters are white. My stepmom is white. You know, my auntie's white. Everybody's white on my dad's family besides my dad and, like, my other sister, like, and my grandma. Yeah, for real.
You better hope Miracle Whip doesn't go out of business, bro.
That's what I'm saying. If it did, I think I would be the first one. I said, like, man, I don't eat a hamburger without it. Don't give me no mustard.
Let me tell you this,
you know, since all of this stuff has been happening in Baltimore with all these riots and black people doing all this stuff, I really don't think that I can call into your station anymore, and I don't think that we can be friends anymore, Pete, okay?
I don't believe that one bit. You know what
I
mean?
Yeah, of course not. Of course not.
Already, that's what's up. Mr. Gary Dale, I'm sorry, man. You still there?
Yeah, y'all just leaving me out of everything. Talking about black people, white people, America, wet, ribs. I don't know. What do you want me? I mean, I'm just sitting here sweating in my chest.
You ain't got the air conditioner on?
Hell, I don't even know what to say to all this stuff. Y'all are getting too political for me. I just like talking about my dog and my blue jeans and things.
Okay, and this is your song. Well, let me tell you what. I'm going to put your song on my station. You can go to soareveryday.listentomyradio.com. That's soareveryday.listentomyradio.com. I'm gonna put your songs on there. It's gonna be airing continuously. So just listen to it. Well, we got 10 more seconds. So Chris, Gary, Bill, you guys have a great day. Okay.
Hey, thank you, brother.
Thank you, man.
My pleasure. All right, please, everybody have a great day. No matter what you have done and what you have been through, I'm not just about making your dreams come true. This is Word on the Street with your boy Petey Pete, Chris King, and your boy Gary Dale. Peace.